People often say how to find the psychic being and they expect a method of meditation. So many meditation schools all over the world, as if there is no other way to find God except through sitting in a certain posture and following a certain breathing pattern. It's even God must be wondering, see, look at me, I'm so active. Didn't I give the Gita? You've forgotten? Didn't I give the Isha Upanishad Kurvanne Vihe Karmani Jiji Visheshtatang Sama? That's what the Upanishad says. That, you know, doing verily works in the world, one should seek to live for 100 years. Just imagine the power in those sentences. What does Sri Krishna tell to Arjuna? He doesn't say, Arjun, you know, I am the highest good, therefore you sit down and meditate. On the contrary, he says, pick up the bow and arrow and do the karma, because such is my will. Meaning thereby to find the soul. Very beautiful method. We have a will, individual will, so-called free choice. Yes, we have a will. Let's be practical, not theoretical, that there is no freedom and all that is okay, abstract things. This truth can only be said when we have reached that higher state. At present, we make a choice. So when often people say, do we have a free will? I said, you want a theoretical answer or a practical? So if I tell you that, okay, there is no free will, or anybody tells you, then from today, will you stop making choices? Will you just sit in your home and wait for lunch to arrive? If you can do it, then you have a right to say. So theoretical, we are not talking about theoretical things, because theoretical things may satisfy mental curiosity, but they do not translate into practice. So what is the practice to find the soul? It's okay, there is a soul, how do I find? This individual will must tune itself to the divine will. That's what the yoga of the Gita ultimately is. That tune your will to the divine will and act in the world. So how do we begin? That's where the Gita says, turn your intelligence inward and upward. Instead of it being engaged with all the time with appearances. So when this intelligence turns inward and upward, then the tuning begins. What is my master wanting to tell me? Then we fall in love with the master. We begin to seek him. Seeking the master, seeking the divine is a kind of falling in love. Whom do we seek after all? Someone whom we love. And his first touches itself make us feel, oh, what a joy. What was I seeking in this world? Dhul mitti. When there is that diamond touch, that little contact with the master within, with the divine presence within. So we don't have to sit in meditation. We have to be in meditation. There is a difference between the two. Meditation is when thoughts are turned towards the divine. Meditation is when our heart is turned to the divine. And the divine doesn't care whether you are sitting, standing in this posture, that posture, whether you have paid $1,000 and taken a course, so much the worse for you. He didn't ask us to waste that money. So much easier to be just together like this and grow. So that's where the rub lies, that turning toward the divine is the way to find the soul. So obviously the question is, okay, but what is the divine? I don't know what is the divine. Obviously, we don't know to start with, and the divine understands the difficulty. Therefore, we have images, representations. We don't know. If you say this world started with Nad, what is that Nad? We don't know. But we know what is Om chanting. This Om is certainly not, if you hear that experience, it's stunning. Literally mind-blowing. But we can't hear that, have that experience right away. So we start taking support with something. Any support. In fact, Gita says, the Upanishad says, Om, it is the best avalamb. And the Gita says, any support whatsoever, patram, pushpam, phalam, it doesn't matter how, but connect with whatever makes us feel the sense of the divine. To me, it is Mother and Sri Aurobindo. To somebody else, it could be Krishna. See, that's how. So, third person, it could be anyone as long as I don't try to convince you and force my thing on you. That should not be, it's understood, because that creates a lot of confusion and disturbances. To each his own way, but we have to connect with something or someone, whatever, whom, with whom, or with that image. In Vedas, how did they connect? They imaged the fire. Not that these things are only images, there is a reality behind it, but that apart. And they chose the images which were so beautifully representative. Fire purifies, fire uplifts, fire is a subtle reality, fire has built the worlds. Fire in Hindi, the word is in Sanskrit is Agni. What does it mean? To take you forward. Ag. In Hindi we use the word Age, Age, Age. Agni. Even in Russian, the word is more or less same. Agun. Yeah. Quite a few languages you'll see the modification. So they use this, they prayed to fire. It doesn't mean they were lighting a fire there and praying to the fire, and they didn't know that this is a material phenomena. They knew, but behind every material phenomena, there is a subtle phenomena, truth. And behind every subtle truth, there is a divine truth. That's why the Ashwath tree image is so important. Our view is bottom-up view. So if we look at somebody praying before an image, we say, see, he doesn't understand it's an image. Of course he understands, he's not a fool. If somebody is bowing at the samadhi, somebody said, what is there at the samadhi? I said, you look at it as a slab of stone. That's your defective vision, birth cataract. We are not bowing at a slab of stone. But to somebody, it is like a slab of stone. That's your problem of your vision. Get it checked. But that slab of stone, that space, that people use, right, sometimes, tomb. It's not a tomb, for God's sake. Imagine if my parents are buried at some place. Somebody says, oh, you are going to a tomb. No, I'm not going to a tomb, for God's sake. When I go there, I feel connected with, I'm not even going into the deeper aspects of the samadhi and the ashram. I'm not going there. When I go there, I feel that connectedness with my mom, who has probably passed away, and we probably is no more, you know, in the subtle worlds. So this is how this whole idea of, you know, through material nature, connecting with the divine reality began. And it could be done anywhere, through anything. You can hear a cuckoo and connect. You can look at something beautiful and connect with the all beautiful. It's a question of deepening the concentration. And when the concentration is very intense, one ends up seeing the divine everywhere. The story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he jumped into the ocean. Shyamavarna, look at the clouds and, you know, you feel Mother Kali. There's a story about Sri Aurobindo that he was meditating in the cellar in Motilal Roy's place. 15 days he was shut in that basement. And one day his wife decided that I have to clean this place. So she started going down, and Bengali woman, so, you know, she ties the sari around the waist. And there's a broom in the hand. As she's going, she's seeing Sri Aurobindo. Suddenly, she didn't know Sri Aurobindo is here. And Sri Aurobindo used to meditate with open eyes. He would see the gods. He would see. So suddenly, when she saw her hand is like the ah, she does ah, what happened? You know, broom is held up and she's shocked, because his eyes were like lamps of light burning in the darkness. Actually, Amrita describes that darshan of Sri Aurobindo. He says, I had never imagined. When I saw his eyes, it was like two lamps burning in the darkness, because it was eventide. So when she saw that burning lamp, his eyes, she was amazed and shocked. And, you know, her mouth was open and her broom was held high, half clad. Look what Sri Aurobindo says. He says, Aur Kali Sakshat Hoye Gelo. I suddenly had the vision of Kali. See the difference. I had the vision of Kali. Because when we start searching the divine, our vision changes. There is a very beautiful aphorism of Sri Aurobindo about the gopis. He says, the average person, the Puritan, sees in that tale of Sri Krishna taking away the robes of gopi, you know, his typical mind. He says, oh, this is a romantic or a sexual kind of thing. But the seeker of truth knows that it's about shedding your robe of virtue and vice so that you can be utterly before the divine. And he says, as we are within, that we bring into whatever we see. So somebody can look at this world and say, horrible place. Somebody can look at it and say, smithy, in which he is forging. These lines in Savitri. Earth is the chosen place of the heroic soul. See why I'm saying, because you see, even in many spiritual scriptures, so-called spiritual, oh, this is a horrible place. Somebody has even said a poetry, this is a hell, and after you have come up from here, then you don't have to go to hell because you have, you know, committed a sentence. Mm-hmm. What kind of a, you know, dark, negative, cynic? Okay, when someone keeps saying it's a hell, I say, okay, tell me, have a hotline to God and you want to go out. No, my son's marriage is still to take place. Let's not exaggerate the hellishness of, there is beauty, there is also joy, there is so much, so many kinds of, Sri Aurobindo describes in Savitri, so many kinds of different joys. Yesterday we had 6 kinds of sweet joys. Small little things. But that's not just about sweet, the love behind. And through all this love, ultimately you can connect with the Divine Mother, arranging all this. It's her prashad. She's arranging all this variety. For whose sake? So the whole drishti changes when we begin to seek the divine. You know that Sri Aurobindo in jail, Alipur jail, we know about his vision of Vasudevam Sarvamiti. But how did he arrive at that vision? No, not that suddenly one day he started seeing Sri Krishna everywhere. Not magic. This is a whole story. His life before the jail is leading a life of selflessness. He has chosen the prayers. The sayas, not the prayers. He drops his job, which is, you know, he was getting there about 750 rupees a month in 1905. The Maharaja Baroda, one of the states which had not ceded to the British. So if you really look at it, it's the best case scenario. He was even made, when he dropped it, he was the acting principal of the Baroda College. What else you could dream of? It's a dream job. And Baroda is anyways a lovely place to be in. Even today, if you see, look at Baroda, it's so lovely. But he drops it. And where does he go? He goes to Calcutta. Why? Because they want to start a national college. They say, only if you come, we'll start the national college. If you take over charge. How much will they pay him? They tell him in advance, we can't pay you much. Shubhendu says, that doesn't matter. How much did they pay him? Maybe 50. Anybody will take a job which is like a demotion from 750 to 50. With very little facilities now. He is in the princely state of Baroda. He has given. You see his house there in Baroda. Such a lovely place. And you go to Kolkata. Now all the British hawks are, you know, after him. This is called Shreyas over prayers. This is the path. Path is not sitting in meditation. You may sit for years, decades. Nothing will emerge if our state of mind is constantly. Even in meditation, someone told Sri Aurobindo, oh, he sits so many hours in meditation. Sri Aurobindo says he meditates on his wife. So, because you can see, whatever we are thinking of in the daytime, that is what we will think when we are meditating. You can't force yourself. Such beautiful stories. One, where they were practicing for Radha's dance and I think it was Dawn, Hymn to Dawn, Sahanadi's memoirs, and they wanted to practice. So they wanted to practice in one of the rooms, which was on top of a sadhak's room. So they wanted permission, and Shrivindu says, you know, he feels very disturbed because he is meditating, he better choose some other place. Then after a few days, Shrivindu says, okay, you people can take that place, start dance. So what happened to him? He says, he is now given up, so he could be danced over. So, so you see this, it's a seeking. Shrivindu, what word he uses? Aspiration. One doesn't find the soul by sitting in meditation.
But they all help.
Huh?
They all help. Even the mother said, don't for some to meditate, and you.
Yes, but the core is aspiration. That's why she used the word for meditation as dynamic meditation. You can sit and nothing wrong, but meditation is not about a posture. It's a state. It's a seeking. And it's very natural that if we are seeking, where we see, we can't be standing all the time. For Shrivindu, it was walking. When he was walking in that shed from, he said, the my kingdom, uses the word my kingdom in Tales of Prison Life, which was between the cow shed and the place where the prisoners were making things. So that was the area which he was walking. So what was he doing during those walks? He was simply, remembering the verses of the Isha Upanishad. What are those famous verses? Yastu sarvani bhutani. So he is remembering that all this that is divine. Sarva khalvidam brahmam. So whether you shut eyes, open eyes, sit or don't sit, that's not the point. Whether you are sitting bolt straight, whether you are sitting a little bit, that's not the point. It's all this is very minor, incidental. It has its little bit place. Everything has its probably place. But most important is seeking. So if you want the soul, seek the divine. As simple as that. Now, take any image which represents to you the divine. The Vedic rishis use the image of the fire. If you have Krishna, Shiva, the mother and Shrivindu, meditate upon them in the heart. Because this is the seat of the soul. And from the heart, see this world. So as we do it, see them in everybody's heart. So as we do it slowly, the consciousness automatically begins to turn inward. Because you are seeking him. And if you are seeking him, it means that he is seeking you with much greater intensity. So why does it take time? Because we are not ready to meet the Creator. It's not as simple as suddenly one day, why are you taking time? Little joy and we get, start jumping. Even in cricket we can't handle little bit joy. Little love and we have, oh, you are so lovely, and we start having tears. That divine love, its intensity. Little peace and we feel like sleeping. Because that's the only thing we know. Divine peace, like a solid block of ice. When it descends, you have to stay awake because many other things are coming. Peace has come to announce, look here, I am the messenger of God. I am going to, many more things he is sending with his angels and his ministers. Now if we, when the peace comes and halfway through we fall asleep, what happens during meditation? Peace comes and says, I am, God is sending you more gifts. And what happens? Gifts come, but we don't receive them. So therefore, the mother speaks of receptivity, openness. So it takes time. The journey takes time. It's not a 10-day crash course in Nirvana. And it's not measured by the amount of money you have given. And the master you have taken. You may go to the best of master. But we will receive only that much which we are open and receptive. I may go to the ocean. But I may end up bringing only that much water. Like people go to Ganga and bring Ganges water. It's nice. Not that there is anything wrong with it. But that's not quite the same as taking a dip in the Ganges. Okay. For all you know. It's okay. Nice. I am drinking Ganges water pouring over my head. Supposing somebody is doing it or keeping it for my last rites. But to go to the Ganges and when you take a dip and when you ply your boat and looking at that scene, those who have gone to Varanasi, I'm not promoting tourism, but still, it's an amazing feeling, experience. Not quite the same as putting that
water.
Yes, water. That's okay, faith. It has its power. But seeking is something important. Because when you go to Ganges, there is a seeking. Ma Ganga ne bulaya hai. So there is a difference. It's the same and yet it's not the same. There's a difference when you are going with a seeking that Ganga Maya ne bulaya, and when you're not taking a bath. This, same thing with about Pondicherry, I would say. It's quite a different thing when you go and you're seeking. Then, yes, Mother and Shubindu are everywhere. That's true. All that is fine. But it's very different. So ultimately, even when we are seeking, we will receive only that much to which we are open. So the container must become wide. Even if we stand before God, Krishna went and revealed himself. Before he reveals to Arjuna, he reveals to Duryodhan. And all of them. So beautifully immortalized by the famous poet. Aha Duryodhan bandh mujhe. Zanjeer badi kya laya hai. When he wants to tie him up. And what does he say at the end? All of them, they can't set their eyes on him. At the end, Duryodhan say, oh, he was a trickster. The same vision is revealed to Arjun. Arjun begins to tremble. He says, I want something milder. This is too strong even for me. Though he is a warrior prepared. And at the end, what does he say? He says, I am convinced. Nastam moham, nasto moham. All delusions are gone. Tell me what you want me to do. See the difference. Same divine, same God, same vision. So even we may go to, let's say, Pondicherry, stay in the ashram or any ashram in the world or anywhere. It is that seeking, that opening, that receptivity. How do we become receptive and open? By clearing the clutter. And divine comes, he needs some space, no? So all this emptiness and quietude is not the end of the story, it's the beginning of the story. Nothingness is the beginning of everythingness. If you imagine if today, I'm not imagining its truth, but I'm just looking at it like that, Mother is coming. Actually, I mean, when I say actually, I mean, yes, she has come, but I'm just putting it like that imagine, you know, if you sent an RSVP or whatever, that, you know, Mother and Shurubindu are coming. What would you do? Is it worth imagining also? I mean, just imagine. Probably you will be here 2 hours before. What can we do? Can we do something for the swagat? Clear the clutter, everything. Everybody will be with their own hands cleaning the floor and everything, that, you know, Mother and Shurubindu are coming, probably getting a lot of flowers and, you know, at their feet, isn't it? No, I'm not saying that one should do that, but I'm just saying that to live life with that attitude, when we do that, then there is opening. Shabri. Shabri is waiting for 35 years. One day he will come. One day he will come. She never gives up. She doesn't say, whoever told me this is a lie. I was a young woman. Now I am growing old. 35 years he didn't come. All the people were telling her, no, is all this your mental illness? And see how the Leela unfolds and he comes and she is so overwhelmed. So this seeking must grow. This wideness, this emptiness which comes by clearing the clutter. How does clutter come? Because of desires. I want this. So we have to cut down to start with. It's difficult to abandon desire to start with. But this is a simpler method. Desire for the divine. Then many desires will automatically go away. Yes. Why? Because you are wanting the divine. Or in everything we will see the divine. There are two things which may happen. One is whatever you get, you are happy, you receive it. Who has given? Mother has given. To start with, you are not obliged in this way that, you know, oh, so and so gave me. Like Karna, all his life he remained obliged to Duryodhan and did things which he should have never done, given his stature. So when whatever comes, you take it as coming from divine, use it divinely. And when it goes away, let it go with the same divine ease. So then that's the simpler way, the way of equanimity, tyag, not sannyas. Tyag is about this, you're not attached to it, you're not clinging to it, you're not craving for it, you're not hankering after it. Please, Rajivji, take me all around in Sydney and show me the place. No, it's not needed. But if Rajiv Bhai takes me, it's okay. There is the delight in that. That's how it should be. I mean, it should not be, oh, wow. So that hankering and that desire self. And it should be genuine, not something which is shown, because you are Atmarati. You are so happy within. You are such in such a peace within. Because he whom you are seeking, the ultimate whom you are desiring, is all the time anyways with you. So it's like if Mother and Sri Aurobindo tell, come, let's go for a walk and let's see. Okay. You know, I'm going to take you for a battle. All right. You'll be there, no? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's for sure. That's what Arjun tells him. I want you. I don't care. I don't want the Sena. See, the same thing, Shreyas and Priyas. This choice, it is this which helps the psychic being to grow. When it chooses the divine over all else, when it is said over the world, it doesn't mean negating the world. Because he is hidden here also. So there are things, there are people, there are states where, the divine experience or the vision is clouded. To start with, one has to be careful about it. When you find the divine everywhere, actually it doesn't matter where one goes. It really does, just doesn't matter what one does. But that's later. But in the beginning, these choices means in every sphere, wherever you feel, we feel that we this experience or that contact with the divine is being clouded. So sincerity is what? That, okay, I will prefer not to do it. And if I go, I have to go sometimes, let's say, so-called marriage functions. They still have it? Okay. So if you have to go to a marriage function, one of the most boring things, people take a lot of joy in it, I don't know. Perhaps it's like, today I'm going to exhaust all my joys. But thing is that, if you have to go because for whatever reason you justify your going, let me put it to be more accurate, what should you do? You should stay concentrated so that you don't flow into it so much that it get veiled. So this is the compulsory ritual or act, not a ritual, but a rite. So that's what is called as fire burning inside all the time. When that is there, and then we sit specially for 20 minutes, half an hour, then it makes sense. Because, we want to cut off from everything and exclusively be concentrated within. Yes, it will bring results. But if we are filled with desires and all kinds of things, and then also we sit in meditation because we have done a course, that doesn't help, because divine is someone living. He is not a mathematical or a mechanical something that you put this lever and suddenly gramophone will start playing. He's not a gramophone. He may not respond if he sees that, well, this fellow is not ready. He may see the ego is too strong, desires are too many. He'll say, okay, wait, I'm watching over you. So he may say that, come for the Kurukshetra, then you choose Kurukshetra because he has chosen. So this is the path that those who have gone before us have shown. And when we make those choices of not only the will, also the heart. That's why it is said, the God lover seeks the company of God lovers. Very naturally. Because it's such a joy, it nourishes. If we love someone, would we like to sit in the company of somebody who hates the person whom you love? I mean, schizophrenic if we are, maybe, but generally you would not. After a while you say, please, it's too much of a torture. You don't have to hate the person, but certainly you'll not enjoy his company. Ah, it doesn't matter. That's why certain rules of living which we have forgotten today in this quick McDonald's age, spirituality has also become like pay your penny and pick up your dish and, you know, finish it. It doesn't work like that. So one likes the company of God lovers. It's known that there are people whose company may bring down the consciousness. There are people whose company uplifts the consciousness. And to start with, this distinction is important. So heart also, heart loving the divine doesn't mean we don't love others. We love others even more, but we love them divinely. We don't love them because of what I may get out of them. What is the benefit I am going to get? That's not love, that is business. It can either be vyapar or it can be pyar. Vyapar is calculation. So much we see all in the name of love, it's all going on is business. Attraction, surface charm. But what is that love which is the quality you seek in human beings? Capacity to give and the joy of giving. And when can we give? When we see something which is truly beautiful. Now, in everybody that little spark is there, even in human love. That moment when you feel the urge to give is because, not because love is blind, but because love has sight. It shows something which is hidden behind the form. Even that fellow doesn't know why somebody loves. Because he knows that I am such and such person. Why somebody loves? Because he doesn't know. But love makes you see. It goes behind the form to the... it gives the vision. There is beautiful passage in Savitri. So it helps you to see for a moment the divine in that person. Unfortunately, when the person gets too close, then you get the smell and then you get the ego rubbing with each other. The moment he speaks, as they say, certain silences are beautiful, because when the person you love starts speaking, you say, no, not this. Some people get married in a hurry. don't do his best. That's the sane advice. But if you have to, don't be in a hurry. So, you know, people often say, whether it's not about love or arranged, it's the same story because human nature is the same. So, but at least when you go through the door of love, you have had the experience, that aha feeling at some point of time. So it's good. You know, at least you can say, okay, I had the aha feeling. So that love, but what does it seek? Why do, let's say, love marriages fail? I mean, everywhere you can find the divine. Why? Because you expect what? The other person to be divine. Truthfulness, truth. Beauty, always beauty in speech, beauty in feelings, tender cares, everything, understanding, everything should be. So beauty, harmony, that's what the soul seeks. Truth, good and beauty. Beauty includes harmony, love, all this, you know. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. But the human vessel cannot find it, cannot hold it. Even for a moment, if a person feels it, after some time, the human nature is not tuned to love. It is tuned to business. So what happens after a while? It's not that love vanishes, it steps behind. When you read the description of Mahalakshmi, you'll find it. That when she sees surrounded by bitterness and all this, she steps behind. Love waits. Sometimes a whole lifetime and who knows how long. So, but when we love the divine in the person, then there is no disappointment. You have gone past the surface personality. So loving the divine doesn't mean loving only divine inside or in an idol, in a temple or in a form. It is the every form, and not only human form, not only husband or wife, but every form should begin to, some way, the divine essence is in everything. So when we love like that, then it becomes truly in bhakti in the widest sense. Bhakti is not jumping around or doing some kirtan. Again, they have their own place, but very small place. Krishna is everywhere. The divine is everywhere in everything. And when we love him, see how even in Kurukshetra he teaches Arjun to appreciate even the opponent. So because everybody has something which is beautiful, something. So people often say that, you know, looking at the person, use the word, no, hard nut to crack. You know how to crack a hard nut? You see how in India, in many of the rituals, stories, practices, you have such beautiful things. So somebody says, you know, that person, I have tried to change, he cannot change. I say, you cannot change because he is so hard outside. So he is like that. I said, no, inside there is Nariyal Pani. So what to do? I say, see, how does Nariyal release its water? You have to break it. Where? In front of God. So I said, God will break that nut. You can't break. Don't try it. You try to crush between your hands. Maybe an odd person is so strong who can do it. But it doesn't work. So what do I do? You know, you have these. See, everything can become yoga. Somebody, there is a hard nut. You have to live with the person. You can't break that nut. You can't release the Nariyal Pani. You don't even know whether there is Nariyal Pani or not. So what do? You pray to God. And he may break the nut one day. Of course, then don't say that, why did you do this to my so-and-so? Well, you prayed. He brought the Nariyal and broke it. Release the water and release the coconut inside, which is such a lovely thing. So there is behind the shell, when you see, there is that element of love in everyone. It expresses itself in some way or the other. Even the cruelest man we know of is Hitler, and he also loved his cat, I believe. And apart from that, what was his name? Eva. Some kind of love he had. He was very sentimentally attached to his cat. If she didn't have food, he would be very unhappy. And of course, his girlfriend, and probably, you know, they committed suicide together. But otherwise, he was tyrant to, I mean, and dig, you raise Ravan, Kans, all these will pale into insignificance. They look like saint before Hitler. And why that was so? Because the greatest asura comes when the greatest divine manifestation is taking place. So when Rama came, there is Ravan. Ravan is a pandit. He is a person who has just gone the wrong way. When Krishna comes, now there is Kansa. And Duryodhana and Shishupal, now they become bad guys, really. And when Sri Aurobindo comes, there is Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, the worst of all. You see, the greater the evil, the greater the divine manifestation. So the greater the shadow, actually there is the greater possibility hidden inside. So when we have our defects, difficulties, challenges, shadow, there is a great light hidden inside. So with all this, we turn towards the divine. So love. Same with divine work, life. How should our life be? What should be our do's, don'ts, conduct of life? And all this is to discovery of the psychic being. It's not about just sitting and quietly and meditating. What should our life be? It should be like a prayer, like a worship, like a stream flowing toward the divine. Whatever work we are doing, we do it as a worship. Whether we get a pay rise, hike, not, doesn't matter. It's not only about job at home. All kinds of work. Sarva karmani. So when we do it like that, the crust, the nariyal, or rather, better example here would be egg. Anda kya jane kya hoga. So the egg begins to boil. Because you are offering it to the fire of aspiration. So it begins to boil. Then what happens? Nothing much you have to do. You have to just, the crust, it's very easy to remove it. Ego becomes soft. Softy, softy. Should not become too softy, huh? Because then you'll be gobbled up. But if you place this egg at the feet of the mother, same shell, what does she do? One way is through the world contact. Egg is becoming soft, then it becomes omelette. Somebody eats you. You have become too soft for the world. But when you place it at the mother's feet, what does the mother do? Like the mother hen sitting over the egg, what does she do? Slowly the chick is developing. And one day she just breaks the shell with a peck and the chick flies. This is the difference. So surrendering to everybody in this world, people have surrendered to everyone, to husband. Nowadays, the norm is reversed, to the wife or both to the child. Yeah. Whatever the child wants, you know. You have surrendered to everybody in the world. And then one says that how to surrender. Surrender is the most natural thing. Automatic. Unfortunately.
It should be automatic,
isn't it? Yes, but it should be done to the divine. It's a willing and glad surrender. So divine treats differently. You don't become an omelette. You surrender to your husband, wife, child, parents, anyone it could be. You become an omelette, then you say this world is like this. But when you surrender to the divine, he makes a chick out of the egg. That's the destiny of the egg. That's the true destiny. So all our works, when we do it in a state of surrender, giving it to the divine, consecrating to the divine, then slowly the psychic being gets ready. And when it's ready, it just flies. There is nothing required to go deep inside. It comes to the surface. And what are the signs that the psychic is coming to the surface? Thoughts begin to move towards the divine. It's, as we said yesterday, it's a power. It's not just a witness, sakshi. There are four stages of the psychic formation, and with that we can stop and write question. First is when it is a slave of nature, das. Anish, that's the word. It's completely overpowered with darkness. Anish, it's not Anishano, Anish. Anish means that he is not lord. It's like you are the owner of the house, but the tenant is occupied. And he is not ready to leave. That's why I was suggesting. He just doesn't want to leave. So you say, I am the owner, but he's neither giving you rent nor willing to leave. So you are Anish. On paper, you are the Lord. So the psychic in the beginning is like that. It is the Lord of nature. But is it? No, it is a slave to nature. But there also there is a purpose, because there is a constant contact going on. Nature is also slowly changing. At least that fellow is learning hypocrisy. Sir, sir, I will leave the house. Sir, I will give the rent. He is learning to at least commit himself verbally. So nature also slowly changes, because that's why the psychic has entered here. To slowly change this field of nature. Then the next step is it becomes a sakshi. It becomes a student of itself. It begins to study nature and the ways. So becoming conscious of ourselves, our motives, is part of the package of discovery of the psychic being. What is the motive behind whatever I am doing? And to a spiritual person, it becomes very obvious. You can't deceive. And imagine to deceive the divine. Going every day and sitting in the temple, you can't deceive the divine. He says, I know this old story. Ravan used to do a lot of meditation. Can't deceive. You'll become a fool. Like Narad telling Vishnuji, make me beautiful faced. Oh, you want to become a beautiful face? Yes. Why? I want to marry that princess. He said, okay. And you know the rest is history. So there is that life must be in the service of the divine. When it is said, it means to consecrate everything to the divine. To do it for the sake of the divine. Then we don't feel all this upset, frustration. See, I did so much for this person and what did he give me back? Well, you have no account with this person. Your account is with these. Yes, there is a name of that bank which doesn't ever get liquidated. DDB. Divine Development Bank. It doesn't get liquidated. But he will give you when you need it. See, that's how you can understand how yoga shem vahameham. He will give you when you need whatever you need. That's why there is trust needed. If you calculate that, you know, this I will do, I'll tie all these strings from my life, then do, it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. You buy a house in Pondicherry, one day I'll sit there and no, it doesn't work out. It just doesn't work out. But if one has remembered the divine and when things have to happen, he will take care. How he will take care, we don't know. Somebody once said something very beautiful when we came to Pondicherry for the first time and, wanted to settle there. And he said, you don't have to look for a house. Your house is already given and you will find it when the time comes. And that's what happened. house will find. Somebody has allotted you. He who is calling you. Imagine, you know, mother is calling you. So if she is calling, will she say, rest you do? If she is calling, be sure of the call. But if she is calling, she'll take care of all that is required. Yesterday you were mentioning, yesterday or today, how someone on 21st February gets an accommodation out. Because when she is calling, she will take care. But you should be sincere to the call and do your bit. That's where you have to do. Then she takes care. That's the condition of Yogkshem Vahamyam. So that is the second stage, when it becomes a witness of nature, understands the motives. Then the third stage, when it becomes the Anumanta. It's not just a witness, it sanctions Shreyas prayers. That's where we had leaped to that. Shreyas and prayers is that standard when we begin to make choices. Choices based on what is good for the soul growth and what is not good for the soul growth. You can't be giving Putna's milk and formula milk and expect the soul to grow. So that's why satsang, the company of the right company, the right people, the right books. And then there is the Ish. It becomes the lord of nature. So it's reclaiming that lordship. So psychic being is so important. And when it becomes the lord of nature, then things change. Psychic transformation. What is psychic transformation? Thoughts spontaneously turn to the divine. You don't have to worry about it. Emotions, everywhere they turn toward the divine. Life flows gladly toward the divine. Joining many lives. That's how it's described in Savitri. Even those parts which are full of ambition and desire, they change. They change into the urge to serve the divine. And even the body begins to become a mirror, a vessel and a channel for the divine. So this is the journey of the soul. We have just taken it from somewhere in the middle through the choices. But eventually, the soul individuality is important because it's the first conquest of God over creation. We complain, world is like this. What can we do? Bring out the psychic being. Tall order, yes. No simple solutions for the world problem. Complex problem. But will it solve my problem? Yes, absolutely. All the problems it will solve. Because you'll see a new light. Mother uses the word reversal of consciousness. That which seemed to appear as horrible may seem to you as grace. That's how psychic being will show. That, oh, my bad husband is a grace. Divine has ensured I can't get attached to him. He has kept me free to pursue the path. So beautiful you will feel. Otherwise, oh, why did he give me such a horrible person? Then you say, thank God you gave me such a person. So this is how there is a reversal of consciousness. So this is the first transformation. Shubhendu uses the word, a camp of God is pitched in human time. And then, of course, life becomes, to use a Punjabi expression, valle valle. It's all beautiful, happy. It doesn't matter what outer life is. Also, but outwardly also you are taken care of. It's not that. Because now you are a special protection and grace. Mother says that there is a general protection over grace over everyone. There is no doubt about it. I mean, over creation, so many things. You watch National Geographic, you will see how grace operates. Everywhere in everything. But there is a special grace. So, why Arjun is favored specially by Krishna? Because now he is a surrendered instrument. So there is a special grace that walks with Arjun. Because now he has to engage in changing the world to tune it nearer to the divine will, divine idea, so that it can manifest the divine, which is what the world is made up for. And that's where our role comes in. Rest is all philosophy and theory. We can discuss Vedanta and, you know, Advaita Vedanta and Dvaita Vedanta and Vishishta Dvaita. All that we can do. But at the end of it, the practical thing is, what can I do? Do I have a role? Yes, we have a role. Role of what? First, you can play your part fully in the world only when you discover yourself. Otherwise, you will be an instrument of various forces, including the divine. Divine will use everything for, but that's different. That's not becoming a conscious instrument. So discovering oneself here, we are not talking of the oneself, the Atman, but something before that, the psychic being, the true individual, the immortal soul. Then what we have to do? That immortal soul has to now master nature. That's the immediate field. I can't keep my house unclean and go around giving lecture that, you know, keep your house clean, keep your house clean. So first our own house has to become clean. Psychic being does that. First change. At least one house will be right. Good house. Then after that. Otherwise there are a lot of people who keep telling others, do good, be good. And look at their life like, okay. Be the example. Then after that comes this third stage where we become conscious instruments and channels of the divine in this world, a center for the divine manifestation. And if we can do this, the rest will be very easy. You see, in Savitri, there are 5 cantos dedicated to search for the soul. And with this finding of the soul, Kundalini awakening takes place. Automatically, the Divine Mother, automatically, you don't have to do anything from above downwards. And then there are 2 cantos to cosmic consciousness and, you know, Nirvana. All that is like a child's play because you're freed from most of the things. At the same time, the advantage of going in this way is that you participate in the divine manifestation. If you don't go through the discovery of the psychic being, go through the mental, from the mind to the divine, you enter into impersonal Nirgun Brahman, Urjayega Hansa Akela, you know, all that song. You go into that state of Nirvana and you dissolve there because you have not discovered the psychic being. That's why Shobhinda speaks of this process after the psychic. Then the rest, spiritual transformation, cosmic consciousness, the one Atman self, the one divine everywhere, all this will be a very, very quick, fast process because the groundwork is done well. If you want to build a strong, enduring building, must first do a proper groundwork. We don't want to do groundwork. We want a quick solution. So, as I said again and again, 30 days course in Nirvana, well, you can't build a solid house of God here upon earth. So if you are really concerned about earth, we feel for it, then find the psychic being. If you are really concerned about solving the problem of your life, your husband's problem, not husband's problem, but your problem with your husband, find the psychic being. If you are really concerned about my job place and all this is happening, find your psychic being. As I said, it will end up solving all the problems in the right sense. First by giving a right vision, understanding. Right now we don't even understand. And then as the psychic being develops in us, it automatically has a radiating influence on all. So even people who are around you begin to taste something of its sweetness, its joy, its love. Temporarily, of course, you can't break the coconut. Coconut is only for God's feet. Put him at God's feet and he will, if he has to accept it, one day it will break. So this is the journey of the soul. Again, only in part we have spoken of, the practical part. Its origin, Sri Aurobindo says, is in the supermind. Our soul belongs there. That in another talk I have spoken about, that its origin, its journey, and you know why the three different schools of Vedanta that came up because of the relation of that one soul with the one. Each soul with the one in that supramental sphere. It gets reflected in the mind. But they are not either or. They are, as I said, people think that cosmic spirit or the transcendent means it cancels it. No. They are simultaneous. Sri Krishna, who knows he is Achyutam Akshitam, he doesn't say, actually, you know, there is no Krishna, no Mahabharat, no Duryodhan, no. It's all nonsense. No. Is absolutely, even as an individual Krishna, he says that as a vibhuti I am, he is also a vibhuti, so he's participating in the, and he says, gives his example that even though there is nothing I need to gain, yet I act. Look at the power of those words. Yet I act. Because if I don't act, the world will collapse. So he is playing a role also. As the transcendent, he is upholding the world play. As the cosmic divine, he is pushing it towards a great event. As the individual, he is playing his own role, which is to stand by the side of Arjuna and ensure that Pandavas win the victory, because That's the demand of dharma at that point of time.